Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Review It Yourself. It was a big sigh, wasn't it? Don't worry, everybody. We're doing a hell of a film today. And would you believe it was my first watch? Rocky, I mean, I don't even need to tell you the year. You know what film I'm talking about. And don't you worry, I've got the podcasting equivalent of the Italian stallion right with me. It's the English linguist. That's the best I could come up with. It's Dan from Casting Views. This is the first ever official Podpack collective collaboration on this podcast. Jesus, that was a mouthful. I'm part of it, so I can take the mick of it. Collective just sounds a bit too red. But I
like it. I like it.
No, I do. It's just. I'm just poking fun. If I poke fun first, then anybody else poke fun, yeah. I just ignore.
No, we can poke fun. No one else can.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I can bad talk my family, but nobody else can.
Sorry, I've ruined your intro, I'd literally finished.
No, I don't mean, oh God, no, I don't go for all that. If I was bothered about an intro, I'd just pre-record it, but who can be bothered? But yeah, never seen this before, Dan. Like, my mum loves this film. I said, Dad, I'm doing Rocky, and he was like, hey, Adrian. Like, that's what he did. Literally, like, pushed his nose down. Hey, Adrian. So it's like an iconic film, and like, we'll get into it, but like, boy, like, what a film. Like, just a, it's not, yeah. The boxing's almost irrelevant.
Like, it's, thank you. We'll get into it. Because first I want to say, actually, really pleased to be on, excited to actually finally get to see you and talk to you. So yeah, been looking forward to this. We finally got it sorted.
Honestly, it's weird because a bit of an aside first. So if anyone who doesn't know what the Podpack Collective is, it was set up by Chatsunami. Of course it was. set up by Chatsunami. And it includes me, Review It Yourself, Dan, Casting Views, and how many co-hosts do you have?
It's just me.
That's awkward. I'm thinking of Dan from Type 40. I'm getting confused. It doesn't take much. Trust me, it really doesn't take much. I was going to give you an example, but it would have been a work one. Oh, I've had one of them days, like, I'm mixing up words. And it's,
we've been there.
Chatsunami, Casting Views, Luke from Nerdstalgic, awesome. We've got, I always get this wrong, Two Girls, One Recyclable Cup podcast.
Reusable.
See, I told you. Sorry, girls. Reusable. Is there a different? Oh, whatever. Let's not get into it. Sorry. I do apologize, girls. And then we have Seismic Cinema, of course. Because, you know, Mizzy likes company. Scott's like company. I'm joking. I'm just talking for we're together in the Podpack Collective. And it's funny because when Chatsunami set that up, outside of the people I'd already talked to, which was Luke, Satsu, and the guys in Seismic Cinema, I'd been trying to collaborate with you for about a year. But it's not your fault. It's one of them times where you, like, throw it out and then you get distracted.
Things happen, man.
Forget about it.
Like, yeah.
I'd messaged basically because they were commenting on my stuff and saying how much they enjoyed it. So I'd already contacted the guys from Two Girls, One Cup. I can't do it. I'm going to stop it. So I can't do it. Great podcast if you haven't listened to it. But so I'd already contacted them about kind of collaborating. So it was weird that it was like I knew everybody, even though I hadn't spoken to everybody.
So it was good. And you are very much the sarcastic. I mean that in a positive way.
I know what you mean.
A bad way, but it's funny. You're I trust you to come in sometimes when something's going on and just put in that comment that's going to stop us all and make us laugh. Yeah.
I can't help it because it's like I said in the chat, because obviously you got a chat to collaborate and share stuff, and I just look on and like. It's like having another family, like this long running chat. Oh, what's going on? You got to scroll back about half an hour and there's just Luke and Statue talking about some obscure game or another. And I'm like, I've got a PS3. I've just bought a new PS3 controller. I have it for Blu-rays. My brother said yesterday, don't you have a PS4? And I was like, no, just PS3. And he looked at me with a face like, what's wrong with you? So, you know, like it's literally right there. So,
well, at the start, it was all Doctor Who, wasn't it? It was all Doctor Who at the start. And I'm not a Doctor Who fan, so I then did appreciate your input into that conversation, but I won't go into it. Then it was Mass Effect for a little bit in that group. Yeah, and like you said, you just wake up one morning and, you've got to... No, I'm not going to keep scrolling. But it's like, good, because we're all talking.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, the effect didn't get to me, so... But, I don't know, it's... Yeah, it's all good fun, but I can't help it, because so the idea of the Podpack Collective is basically to like spread positivity in the podcasting kind of arena and help people collaborate and basically just do exactly what we were doing before, which was like reaching out to people. We're all from Britain or the UK or whatever you want to call it, even though we're not all based here, but I won't get into that. So yeah, we're all from there, so no dodgy like, you know, time zone differences, which is, trust me, I'm sure it's bad for the Americans as well, yeah, and Canadians, etc., Germans, but it's a nightmare. Like, it's not easy for anyone. So that helps. But it's basically, it's not like, the, you know, it's not a kind of catch-all of, oh, yeah, we're all positive. No, it's genuinely, like, it's to try and help people. And if anybody listens to this and is starting out in podcasting, whether it's like a film podcast or whatever, a game podcast or whatever it is, and you want a bit of help, give us a shout. We'll help you out. Because, I mean, no one else is going to. So, no offense. So,
and it's been a really good start, actually. And like you, I've known, I think Chatsunami and I, we started speaking very early on when I kind of first set up. So we've been talking on and off for about 18 months, 2 years. And Luke is just, he's the most sort of super positive person around, isn't he? He's just always doing that. So it's a good bunch of people.
Yeah, he really is. Like me and Luke, we did like Bake Off together. And then we literally, the amount of voice messages we sent to each other about I'm a Celebrity this year, we could have made a series out of it. I could have put my phone up to a microphone and gone, yeah, do you want to hear what we think? But, you know, and then we've been chatting about Doctor Who and, I think sometimes, like, and I think this is true, like, if you're as pessimistic or realistic as I am sometimes, you need somebody who's positive sometimes, like, you like to really say, no, come on, look at it this way. Even if you don't agree in the end, Doctor Who being the prime example, it's always nice to have somebody on the other side of the fence to say, actually, what about this? And you go, oh, yeah, wasn't a big fan. But, you know, and even if you don't come to an agreement, you just have a chat about it. Like, because exactly. I think people have, like, forgotten that, haven't they? Like, yeah. Especially on the socials.
And that's what I've actually said to Chatsunami in a private message, is that what's good about the collective is that, yeah, it's not all, when we're talking, it's not all, oh, I agree, I think that's brilliant. We have got different views, and that's the whole point of a group of people, right, is to have those objective views.
It used to be. Yeah, no, it is. But yeah, I think the online arena can be very, people like to get in their own little camps and then no one disagrees with you. Yeah. It's lovely. And it's like, yeah, life isn't like that. And if you think life's like that, you're in for a very rude awakening. So sometimes you do need somebody to break into your bubble and say, hang on a minute, what about, you know, not insult you, not be rude, but you do need somebody to say, like, hang on a minute, what about, your view's a bit narrow, why not? Look at it like this.
Yeah. An honest view, not just placate someone. It's an honest view. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't get you anywhere. Like, I think that's another thing that I think will become like something that will really help. In that, if I'm like this in life, if I listen to, I don't know, no offense, Luke, it wouldn't happen with you, so that's why I'm picking you. But say Luke started an offshoot series, for example. And I listened to it and I was like, oh, this really isn't your wheelhouse. Mm. I would reach out to him and say, I like the idea, but I think maybe go about it a different way because it doesn't come across great. Not that that's happened, Luke. Mm. But, and I think that would be received pretty well. And I think, because I think sometimes, like podcasting, I think we're all, because no one's kind of helping the independent podcasters out, really. I mean, I know some people, like good pods and things are trying and fair play to them, but I think there's only kind of the people you collab with who are really kind of helping you out. So sometimes, and we all like to be dead positive and say, oh, it's amazing. And it's like, yeah, we need that. But then sometimes you do also need people to say, yeah, I don't think this really works. I don't think this works for you. I get what you're trying to do, but I'm not all the time, but you know, I think that'll come as we probably get
exactly
to know each other a bit more. So it should be good.
It's still fairly new, right? I mean, at the time of doing this, it's only really been a few weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, since the beginning of the year. Yeah, guys, at all. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. I know, it's felt like a long time. No, we set the group up, didn't we, a little bit beforehand. We had only been since the start of the year. But before I digressed on this, I wanted to come back to what you said. I describe Rocky, when someone asks me about Rocky, I do call it a boxing film that isn't about boxing, ultimately.
Yeah.
I know there's a big boxing match in there, so I know it feels stupid, but it's, to me, especially the first one, it isn't about boxing. But I'm sure we'll go on to that.
Well, because I've never seen it before. So anyone, I mean, if you listen to this and you've seen it, then you'll enjoy this either way. But if you haven't seen it, I'll kind of go through the plot a little bit and break down what I enjoyed, and Dan will go through what he enjoyed. But there's, like, I go through the plot and I enjoyed bits of it. Well, I enjoyed all of it. And then the ending bit will come like a bit of a verdict on what I really enjoyed. Because, like, I might as well say it now. It's a great film. Like, it's one of those films where you think, oh, God, I hope this lives up to the hype. Because there's nothing worse when you watch a film and you're like, is that it? 2001 A Space Odyssey, dreadful. The Halbit's great. The Hal stuff's great. Yeah, the rest of it, it's like someone's dropped some. It's like something spiked your tea. And you're like, I don't know what on earth I'm watching. It's bizarre. And that's the worst example I've got of people going, oh, my God, this is a classic. And you go, really?
So have you not seen any of the Rockies then? Have you not seen...
I think I've seen bits of it. I think I've seen bits of this. I think it was probably always on in the background as a kid. I've seen bits of. Is Ivan Drago the fourth one or the third one?
Oh yeah, four. Yeah.
I think I've seen bits of four, but I've never seen this one before because in the rest of the series, I think Apollo Creed becomes his mate, doesn't he? So I was surprised.
Yeah.
That's who we fought in this. So obviously played by Carl Weathers. So it's like I was like, oh, okay, and you know, I knew the Rocky theme because everyone, it's unmistakable.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, this film's almost like 50 years old. My dad said the other day it's a 50 years old next year, which is.
No, when I saw that, I thought. Oof.
Yeah. Hopefully they do what they did with The Godfather, even though I've not seen them yet. I know. I'm sorry. I know.
Well, I know what I'm coming back on for then.
There you go then. Started. So yeah, anyone who doesn't know Rocky. It's set in Philadelphia. It starts on the 25th of November, 1975. And, you know, we meet the Italian stallion, Rocky Balboa, and he's clearly fighting well below his ability. He doesn't listen to his trainer's advice. And I'll tell you what I noticed straight from the off, because I'm one of these sad people who actually reads credits as they come up. I had no idea who wrote this. Like, I knew he was very involved in making it. I didn't know he wrote the thing. Like, I mean... Because, like, producing something or executive producing something, that's a big thing in of itself. But writing something is, like, a totally different beast. That was a surprise, I'll be honest.
This is the whole thing. I think he wrote it in a few days. I think he got it from one of the fights. I can't remember. I think it was one of the Muhammad Ali fights. He got inspired by it. And this became his passion project, as it were. And I think the reason it took so long for him to get it made is because studios wanted it, but he wanted to be in it. And basically, unless they took him in as the lead, he wouldn't give it to them. So it took a bit of time to do that. So yeah, this is his heart and soul into that first film. Yeah.
Yeah. And boy, does it shine through. And you know, you see, he's kind of very well known in his neighborhood, and it's quite a rough neighborhood. But he's very all right with everybody. And I had no idea that, you know, he was like a heavy, he's a collector of money for essentially this local loan shark, Mr. Garza, who to be fair, I really liked. I know you shouldn't, but not advocating loan sharks at all. But they kind of don't tell you a lot. Like, it almost at times, and I'll be interested to see what you think about this. I watched it, and genuinely, if somebody had said to me, by some miracle, I didn't know who Sylvester Stallone is, and somebody said to me, oh, this is a documentary, I probably would have believed them. Like, it feels so real, and I can't overstate that enough.
And that's what they really go for, and that's, like, one of the first things I made a note of, is that it really kind of tries to convey that working class you know, the person who's just trying to get from day to day, doesn't it? And it is filmed, I mean, it is, like you said yourself, 50 years old almost, so the age is going to be there. But it is almost filmed, like you said, it's quite dark, quite dreary, and it's not an optimistic opening, is it?
No, not at all. And I was thinking, oh, I don't quite know if I'm going to like this guy. You know, he's talking about turtles and feeding. You think, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's working up this really terrible line to, you know, yeah, say to Adrian. And and then he got, and I thought, he's like a collector. I don't know if I'm, you know, a heavy. I don't know if I'm going to like this guy. And then he doesn't break the guy's thumb. Then Mr. Garzo's basically like, yeah, it's not good for my reputation. But I love, it's like all the little things. This is for me, is what makes a film great. Like the little things, so like, you know, the asshole Gazzo's driver, yeah. Salami Berg, and like all that, and he's like, and just a little, like how sharp the script is, where he goes, he's walking into, is it the boxing gym, and he says something to the guy, and he's like, what, and he's like, you deaf, and he's like, no, I'm short. Like I love stuff like that.
There is a lot of little bits of humour and warm humour. And like I said, to go back to, the loan shark, you're not supposed to like a character like that. But he does become almost like, it's like he's a father to these two squabbling children, isn't he? Because Rocky and this guy just don't get on. And you almost, it comes almost not a sitcom, but it's almost like sitcom-esque, that little bit where he's trying to keep them in check.
Yeah, but that's what people are like. That's how childish people get. Like, there's something that's not often in films. It's not usually people trading these really slick comebacks. It's usually two people acting like children. You know, we're all like that. We all have times where, you know, where you're like, you might whinge about something, or you might go on a big tirade. I know you're shocked. I know you're shocked I do this. Where you, like, you go on a tirade about something, and then afterwards you think, why did I get that help? Why did I get that bothered about it? I was talking about what someone's done. It's just talking about what somebody hasn't done at work or whatever. You think, oh, come on, really? What, when you break it down, what are you fed up about? And to be fair,
something that comes out, maybe a bit in this film, but in some of the later films, in Rocky's reaction to that guy, is he does feel like he's looked down upon, and to a lot of extent he is, you know. I think it's Rocky 2 you'll see that a bit more, but yeah, I think there's that bit of a, I'm not going to say he's got an attitude, but I think he's got a bit of a complex about how he's perceived by people.
He definitely has an attitude. He definitely has a healthy boxers have to have that ego. You couldn't do it unless you had that belief in yourself. But at the beginning of the film, for the most of the film, and the night before the fight, he has no belief in himself. I think the main reason between Rocky and, you know, the Garzo's driver, the annoyance they have, I don't think they're angry at each other. I think neither of them are happy with, like, their position in life. And they're kind of, like, lashing out at that, but they can't lash out at yourself. But they're kind of lashing out at each other. And, you know, Garzo just gets stuck in the middle. And then they have, like, all these little things. And this is something that I think it's a strength of writing of older films, that they don't need to spoon feed you. They don't need to insult you. They show you a situation and they let you figure it out for yourself, because people aren't stupid. And I think modern writers sometimes forget that, to be honest. It's like, look at how the fact he loses his locker, like, it tells you so much about the character. Like, how much, you know, he loves the boxing gym. He's been going there 6 years. How it's all he's got, but also he's been a massive disappointment. You know, he's been put on Skid Row, which really made me laugh. If no one knows what Skid Row is, it's basically about the depression, the 1930s depression, and you ended up on Skid Row if you, like, I can't remember if it's in New York. I don't want to get that wrong. But I do know it's like when you had no money, that's where you ended up. He's basically saying, so what? I'm like, you're sticking me over there on, like, on the hook, like, What's all this stuff in my locker? And then, and it's when Mickey says to him, like, Dipper, who was another boxer who's taken his locker, he's like, he's a climber, not a tomato. And he says to him, like, he essentially says to him between the lines, you're a pretty boy, you never got your nose broken, you haven't taken any risks. You know, he says it later on, you could have been great, but you settled to be like a leg breaker for this local loan shark. Like, you've settled. And I think that'll impact you even more if someone tells you you've underachieved when you know you've underachieved, like that really, when someone says to you, you're better than this, that hurts, especially when you know it's true. Like, you're like, oh, Christ.
But, well, he's then reduced to like being like the spit bucket man, isn't he? And, yeah. And stuff like that. And he's a prideful man. But it's just, the cards he's been dealt in life. And like you said about not being spoon-fed, I mean, it opens up with that fight against Spider Rico, I think, doesn't it? So you get all you want from that, because you can see it's probably about 10 people there, right, isn't it? And it's in like a hall or something. And you could just see where he's at in his life there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And he's kind of not very smooth. He's like, tries to ask Adrian who's this, like, and I don't mean this insultingly, but it's the best word I've got. Like this kind of mousy, very, very quiet, checkout girl, woman, lady, whatever. But, you know, who works at the pet store, I suppose the Americans say, like part-time. And he's not very smooth. He's trying these kind of strange one-liners. I love the person who works with her who's just like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
And like when he comes in, like, oh, dude. And you get all these like really little like hints from, like, he finds a guy that he really is a nice person. Like, he finds a guy drunk outside, literally fireman's lifts him into the bar and sits him down. It's like, oh, okay, no one says anything. And then we get Adrian's brother who's a really odd bloke, clearly an alcoholic, clearly.
Yeah.
Again, another person that is very much struggling with his lot in life. Like, I think this film plays massively on like the American dream, which is really is something they need, that belief they need to rediscover as a country. But I'm not going to get adult to politics, as you know, but they need to just rediscover that, because it's 200 years since the forming of the country, you know, 1776, this whole bicentennial sort of Apollo Creed, the world champion is getting this fight ready. And don't worry, there'll be lots, you know me, and if you've listened to this podcast before, you know there's nothing I like better than an all-out American film. And if you believe that, I'll tell you another one. But, oh, there's so much American towards the end of this, it's painful. But it doesn't, you know, don't let it put you off.
You mentioned about her brother, right? That is, for me, one of the most uncomfortable bits in the film, because the film is, you know, it goes along and Rocky is almost like one of these people that tries to do humour to disguise kind of the real, you know, like the real world or kind of how he's feeling. But there's a couple of scenes, isn't there? One where he gets really angry at something. But then, yeah, the bit with Paulie and his sister. And it comes as quite a jolt, and it is an uncomfortable watch, because for the rest of it, you've got this, like, this beautiful soul in Rocky and this relationship he's started with Adrian, who, like you said, yeah, she is the most sort of introverted and shyest person that you'll probably want to or come across in life. And these two awkward people trying to have a relationship. And then, yeah, and then this outburst by her brother, and it's just a real shock.
I think you need that scene, because I thought the same, but I think you need that scene where he kicks off and where he is like shouting at her and because, again, another person who's not happy with himself so lashes out at others, not physically lashes out, just in case you've not seen it.
Yeah.
But he, like, you need that, because if you don't have it, it doesn't explain her reaction later on where she screams at him and you see that inner strength that she's got just because she doesn't strut around like Rocky, and just because she doesn't, you know, have a big mouth like Paulie, who's her brother. She's still got that strength, and this is like, she's a very, very strong, like, female character. Like, and I'm not just saying that like because it's popular to say nowadays. She genuinely is, but she's different. Like, she's not trying to compete with Rocky, like, or anything like that. She's very much different, and I think you know she shows that. Like, especially when she has the outburst, she's like, I'm like the weak one. I clean your clothes, I wash your house, I do it. And it's like, yeah. And okay. It's only 50 years old. So yeah, okay. Bit different than now, but get over it.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's called the passage of time. but like,
well, she snaps, doesn't she? That's a bit, that's her snapping point, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. And, I like how, like, Rocky is trying to figure out, like, you can tell sometimes he's like, I don't know how, what am I kind of going to say, type thing. But again, like, I like the scene with his mates, his sister, when he's like, does your brother know you're out here? And he, like, goes up and he has that whole scene with her, and he talks to her about, look, you've got to have respect for yourself. If you don't have respect for yourself, essentially, no one else is going to. If you hang out with nice and smart people, you get nice and smart friends. But I think it's funny because he doesn't really have that. Like, is Paulie a nice person? Well, maybe when he's not drinking, you know, maybe. But again, it's like, you gather that this is a place that's very much, and I don't know much, but I think Philadelphia at this time was, there was a lot of depression in America. Like, they're just like, people are struggling for jobs. People are essentially doing what they need to get by. Like, Rocky says that at the beginning, doesn't he, about, you know, it pays the way. Like that, like the scene where the guy's giving him out money and he's like, oh, you get the winner's fee, like $60. I'll take 15 for the shower and the locker. I'll take that. You're flipping out, which I know is how real work. I know that's how real pay happens. Like, they say, oh, here's your payment, and here's your total pay, and here's your net pay. Don't look at the two. Just don't do it to yourself.
Yeah.
But I know that happens. Yeah. But to have it happen right to your face, like, if someone went to me, oh, here's your money, I'm going to take that for this, I'd be like, oh, don't do that to me.
What you said is spot on, and it's like, he's constantly trying to see how he can almost improve his lot in life. Like, there's also the little scene, which actually, there's a callback to it in one of the much later films, but where he goes past and there's that, the girl smoking cigarettes with those other kids on the corner, and he pulls her away, doesn't he? And basically,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's walks the bit home. About, yeah.
And it's like, he walks away and then she kind of gives him the finger, doesn't she? You know, but it comes back in a much later, that is a callback, in a much later film. But it's like, it just shows that it's like, he's always just, that's the impression you get right at the start, is he's not had a good lot in life. You don't know why. All you know is that he's just trying to do what he can to get out of it, because he's working in a meatpacking factory. He's obviously the thumb breaker, but he's so bad at that he doesn't actually break the thumbs. And he's trying to get by with this boxing.
I don't think he's working in the meat factory, is he? I think Paulie is, but I don't think he does he?
Oh, sorry, No, you're right, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I suppose he could, but again, like, you're right in essence of, like, there's people in this, they're not doing what they want to do, they're doing essentially what they have to, because it puts money, it puts food on the table. You get from looking at where this is filmed at the time, it's clearly a very, like, economically depressed area. There's no getting away from it. It's not alien to me either. Like, is it alien to anybody? But I suppose we all know places that are like this, and I think, you know, that's where the pride comes into it. And the fact that no one wants to be considered a bum, as in the American bum, like tramp, you know, they don't want to be seen as like a sponger. They don't want to be seen as a sponger.
The
Americans will get the bum bit. The rest, the rest of the people, you'll get what I mean. But it's like that thing, you don't want to be seen as like a hanger-on or that kind of thing. We find out that Apollo Creed's opponent, I think he's broken some of his hand, and this boxing match is in 5 weeks' time, and all the ranked contenders are out. They've essentially all said, look, we can't get up to fitness in that space of time. And I mean, for people who don't know a lot about boxing, like, my dad loves boxing, watches it. I know a bit by proxy. But I do know that, like, you know, look at how Ricky Hatton used to get between his fights, like, and that's not an insult. I'm just saying, physically, like, they don't stay the same. Because how the hell would you stay at that? Like, how the hell you'd kill yourself to stay at that level? You know, if anyone doesn't know about boxing, it's not like someone just karate or whatever. That to keep that level of fitness for boxing, just to hold your hands up for, you know, 12 rounds. Of 3 minutes each or whatever it is, you know, I haven't watched boxing in a while, but that is tough. That is incredibly difficult to do. And Apollo Creed, who's a very savvy businessman, he's clearly a good boxer, but he's let slide a bit. We'll get to that. He decides very shrewdly that this fight needs novelty. Like, you know, oh, it's America. it's America.
This is where that comes in.
I thought he was going to start singing, you know, oh, so you can. He almost does later on, we'll get to it. He's like, we love, like, I wonder, I love the bit where he's like, I wonder how much that hat cost. Crack me up. But he's like, this film. This fight needs novelty, sentimentality, like, I'm sentimental, and gosh darn it, you American public, you're sentimental too, aren't you? This whole idea, bringing the American dream back, isn't it? All the whole, like, we'll give this Philly kid a chance.
Yeah.
Someone says, oh, it's very American. He's like, no, it's very smart. I'm like, yes, good lad, you know what you're talking about. And again, we get a bit more back and forth between Rocky and Garzo's driver, which just I loved. Then he decides upon Rocky Balboa for his name, the Italian Stallion, which I thought was great. Because apparently, Stallone in Italian is Stallion. That's where it comes from, apparently. He's a southpaw, which is left-handed. Apollo Creed's very much like, oh, I'll down him in three. I'll knock him out in three rounds. And Rocky doesn't, takes it seriously. He doesn't want to do it at first, but, he thinks, oh, yeah, this is my opportunity.
Well, they tell him it's going to be like a sparring partner at first, isn't it? I think they say he's after a sparring partner. So he goes along thinking that's what he's going for.
I wasn't sure if that was just Mickey kind of just saying that to him. I'm not sure. Because Mickey is very shrewd, isn't he? I wasn't sure if that was him just saying it. Or maybe that's what they've said at first to get people. Because you wouldn't want... I suppose if the word got out there that they were looking for... Everyone would be like, oh, I'll fight him.
I'll take my chance, yeah.
$150,000 or whatever, $120,000, whatever. Me.
Yeah.
I'd need a face. And again, he's still kind of... I was going to say courting, but essentially that's what he is, because it's very like, he's dating Adrian. He takes a skating. Now, I don't usually dive deep into the trivia anymore, because I found that we all get it from the same place. But if you ever want to read some interesting stuff, go on IMDb for the trivia for this film. It's amazing. Like, the whole bit about, I love how he barters to get 10 minutes on the ice with her, because else is there. But apparently that was because they were expecting like 300 extras to turn up. They couldn't afford them. One extra turns up and they're like, and I presume that's who they got to play the guy in charge. I don't know if it is. I presume it is. And I love that. And like, just, it's a very, like, it's a beautifully shot film. And there's loads of iconic scenes in it where you think that's very different to how you'd have thought they would do it. So it's just him and her, and he's like joking along, and the film probably could only afford one pair of skates the way they made it. But it's fascinating, and then we have the brilliant scene. Sorry, did you have something to say? Sorry, because I just keep ploughing on, don't I?
No. I was going to say, it, like you said, and again, it's just from him who, initially when you see it, or if you haven't seen it, your perception is he's just this boxer, this silly, not intelligent and working class boxer, but the way he treats her, takes her, and it's another sweet moment between the two of them, and using the word sweet in a film called Rocky is, you're probably not expected to say that, but again, it just helps cement that relationship that the two of them are getting.
Yeah, definitely. This is where you get the great scene between Mickey and Rocky, where he says, you have the talent, but you became a leg breaker. It's a waste of life. Like, this is where, like, one of the scenes where I thought this film feels so real. Like, the guy who plays Mickey, she's absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. Like, he really is. Again, the bang on about the American dream again. I finally find out where the whole, yo, Adrian came from, when he's on television, and he, like, Adrian's brother starts banging on about wanting to help and never really stops, to be honest with you. But I do love the way he gets his money in the end. By like just sticking a meat sticker on the back of that.
Yes.
Good lad. And they have him on the TV and they make him look like an idiot. They take cheap shots and they basically, they make him, say what you want about Apollo Creed, he's very, very suave, sophisticated. He looks the part. And you can see that he's like, oh, it doesn't bother me. And then when he talks to her outside, he's like, oh, you know what they said? It did bother me. And they just walks off. Like, there's a few times in this where, like, they don't have the whole, they don't, like, overplay their hand. They just say it, and then it's done. They don't, like, dwell on stuff. Like, it's very well edited, put together. They just don't mess about. Another great example of it, and I'm jumping forward a bit, only a little bit, is where Mickey turns up and he says, oh, I want to become your manager, basically.
Yeah.
And they kick off at each other. I'll get to it. But then there's a bit where they kind of reconcile and he runs out after him. Rocky runs out after him. And they have that in the background with just the noise of the city. You don't hear.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't hear it. And I'm like, that is like, it feels real. Like too often I watch films now and I'm like, people don't talk like this. Like, this isn't how people are. Like, this feels like how people are, you know. Yeah. You could argue some people who are in it are like a bit emotionally stunted or whatever. And, you know, it does show its age in some ways, but I don't think in a way that you would care. It does look very 70s. It does look very run down. But I think
that just makes it even more appealing now. Yeah, I think adds the atmosphere. And yeah, what you were saying about that press conference, that is everything that he fears, isn't it? Is about being made to look stupid. And just that one line, like I said to Adrian about, it did upset him, says more than him. Yeah, if you have a whole monologue where he's going in about why he's angry or what they do, because we know now that that's everything he fears and despises, is being made to look stupid.
And also, I think, Sly's admitted this, that he puts a lot of himself into his roles, the things he's written. And I've no doubt that he probably thought the same, that this is very much based off him trying to get into films and getting constantly told, no, you're not going to be in it. Don't be silly. I think definitely, like, that plays into this. Because I don't know, the film, like, it's got a lot of heart, like massively so. It's the next scene, actually, where Mickey turns up, tells him, look, it's freak luck. Because I was dying for someone to call it out. Like, this is just luck.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't been picked because you're the best of the best of the best, which is very American now. Like, he's picked out of, like, freak luck. Carl Weathers. Apollo Creed likes the name. He's from Philadelphia, a homeboy. And he's like, this makes sense. They people will get behind this. He's selling it. It's a pitch. It's not, it's not about,
it's
like,
a novelty fight. Like,
there.
Now, it's a novelty fight now, nowadays, isn't it? It's,
oh, God, don't. They do. I think it's diluting boxing, but anyway.
That's what that was,
I mean, you say that, though, Dan, but, like, I'm no boxer, but someone offered us Untold Wealth, you know, two great podcasters. I mean, you know, I'd be like, look.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's how Apollo and his camp are looking at it. It's annoying because, they're just picking someone up, like you said, from a gym in Philadelphia. And nowadays it would be seen as a novelty fight, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, they have them all the time with YouTubers and God knows what. But if anyone's listening and wants to offer me and Dan a lot of money to fight each other, let us know.
Yeah.
Professionally. Hey,
let's
get the bread and milk. We've got to pay for it somehow. I had a really good point there. It's gone. Go on. Yeah.
No, you were talking about, the scene with Mickey, wasn't it? Calling it out as being luck.
Oh yeah. I was dying for somebody to just say, oh, look, this is a freak. Like, he's just picked you out. Oh, yes, that was it. That was it. That was what I remember. So, and there's, like, loads of BS thrown in there as well. Like, when Rocky goes to meet the guy earlier on, like, the guy who's like, oh, you could fight Apollo Creed. They're like, oh, kid, like, Apollo came to see you fight and he thinks you're great. I'm like, no, he didn't. Like, the last fight he did, there was, like, 10 people in it. I'm pretty sure if Apollo Creed, the champion of the world, was in the corner, people might have noticed. You know, so it's like, and you get...
Absolutely.
And you know, Rocky, like, knows, it's like rubber, you think, yeah, he knows. Because it's not like now where, you know, and again, this is where the age of the film plays into it, but not in a bad way, in that if it was now, you could look them up on YouTube or other streaming sites or look on, you know, anywhere you wanted and find these. And back then it's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, you know, it just isn't. Yeah.
So but he doesn't care. I don't think Rocky cares that such. I think he's got this opportunity and it's just his moment to give it his all. I think that's all it is. I think he knows that people are using him deep down, but in the end, he's got this, and his pride is saying, right, I've got this opportunity. I've got to now take it. And I think that's the thing. I think you could say what you want to him at that point, but it's that ethic in him to say, right, I'm going to be the best I can for this fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't agree more, really. And so Mickey offers to be his manager, and he's like, you know, you've got heart, and I love the line where he's like, I can't do an impression of Stallone, but he's like, yeah, I got heart, but I don't got no locker. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, that's
good line, isn't
again,
it?
Well, we say a petty little thing, because like you said, how important that is to a boxer, the locker, but it's just that little thing. He's still, even in the middle of a big argument with Mickey, the locker is still burning. It's the biggest thing that's upset him, isn't it? Out of everything.
Yeah, it is.
That's so real.
It's the beginning of losing your place. Like, how soon after that is it that he's going to be out of the gym? Because, look, you're 30, you know, he even says it to him at the beginning. He's like, oh, you're thinking about retiring. You know, it's like, you know, you know, your knees are going, and, you know, all this kind of thing. And it plays into it, like, really well. And then the whole thing about, like, because the line about, like, I needed your help 10 years ago.
Yes.
Like, why didn't you ask? I asked. You didn't listen.
Yeah.
And I love the whole thing about, because I think too often in films, and I'm not just moaning about films, but I think too often in films, you have characters who react just purely based on the situation that they're in and in of the film. Whereas if that's like actual people, you'd say, hang on a minute, Dan, you want me to come and do this big podcast venture with you? But I've been asking you for 10 years to collaborate, and you did not so much as it, not so much as a sniff. And now all of a sudden you're saying you want to run a podcast together. Like, that's not, like let's not mess about you taking the myth. Like, that's how real life would go.
And I love that whole scene with Mickey, because it's like you said, so Mickey's come back almost like cap in hand to say, look, if you're going to do this, let me train you because you need help. Rocky's obviously so angry about everything. And like you said, everything comes out. And especially as Mickey's that elder mentor. In most films, there'd be like an understand it or a conversation. But Rocky lets him have it. And Mickey, instead of argues back, almost just looks kind of disappointed and just walks out, doesn't he? And again, it's almost like a real... It's not Hollywood. It's not a movie argument. It's got that rawness to it.
Yeah, it's not melodramatic at all, and I love that about this film. You know, the bit where, and I think the best bit in that whole scene is where Mickey, like, Rocky goes in the toilet, and there's a bit where Mickey's talking about, like, oh, I was a contender, and he flushes the chain, and I thought that is brilliant timing. Yeah. And then the best bit of it, the whole thing, is where Mickey, like, doesn't get upset, but he, like, very much says, you know, I'm 76 years old. Yeah. And that's all he says, because that's all he needs to say. You don't need him to be like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. You don't need him to moan or, Richard Meeks say, you don't need him to moan or whinge or, like, start getting all emotional. You don't need it. You literally need it to be like, I'm 70. That's all you need to be told.
Yeah.
And an audience gets everything they need from that. And I love that. And
it's such a brilliant scene. Oh, go on.
Yeah. No, go on. No, sorry.
No, I was going to say, no, for me, that's it. It's just a brilliant scene because you've got, it's so well acted. And you've got one person, Mickey's just disappointed because he knows probably what he could have been. And you've got Rocky, who's just let out this cathartic release of anger and built up frustration. Brilliant.
Yeah. And when he's having that massive rant when he leaves, because like as soon as he's gone, they say it's easier to say it not to someone's face, which is apparently why you have some of the best conversations when you're driving, because people talk because they don't have to look you in the face, believe it or not.
Okay.
So apparently if you want to have like a real in-depth chat with someone, do it in the car, because some people don't like that having to talk, like you know that pressure of having to talk to someone. It's the same reason why. And here's a random bit of trivia that I never thought I'd bring up in this fucking conversation. This is the reason why at fast food restaurants, they have these online ordering booths. Now, everyone thinks it's because they're quicker. It's no quicker to order at those booths, the big screens, than it is to order at the counter. But they've figured out, like, in psychology, if you're not talking to a person, you'll order more because you don't feel, like, ashamed or whatever. Because you just put in, do you want to go large? No, I'm all right. Whereas if it's a screen, do you want to go large?
There you go.
Do you want to go to 20 of these things for this money? Oh, yeah, go on then. There's no one. You're not having to say it in someone's face. It's that same kind of thing. I know it's a random kind of example, but I think the message is the same. But I you think, oh, God, they've got us. Like, anyway, yeah. I love all them, like, things about selling things. I think it's fascinating.
Psychology is brilliant. Yeah, definitely.
I've never sold things, but I think like that, the psychology of selling things or where you place things in terms of height and I think it's fast. I think it's brilliant.
Oh yeah,
it's really good. Anywho, so Mickey goes and then he keeps shouting. It's like, it stinks in here, it stinks. And whole thing was apparently because the set did the place that was it did actually stink. And that's when he goes after him and they have he puts his arm around him and Rocky puts his arm around him. But again, it's like, you see this shot down the street. I think, I don't know if it's elevated train. I think it goes across. Yeah. I don't know if Philadelphia has an elevated train, like Chicago. I'm not sure. But the train goes past and you hear the noises of the city. And like, you don't hear what they say to each other. You don't, like, it's really off in the the end of the street. And like, I loved how like they left it in the background because it's a film that's kind of all about feelings, but it's not explicit. It's almost like a book in that way. You pick out whatever you pick out of it. Like, this is one of those films where you can watch it and you can, you know, outside of the very, in a way, simplistic plot of it, there's so much more. Like, to describe the film, like, does it a disservice in terms of, oh, yeah, it's about a guy, blah, blah. It does it a disservice, really. It deserves all the credit it gets, to be honest. And I can't wait to see the sequel.
That's the thing about him, Rocky, chasing after Mickey afterwards. He's like, yeah, so he's let him have it for however many minutes it was. But his character isn't to then leave it like that. He wants to kind of, you know, go up to him. And he probably realises that he can help him. And now, you know, he's not going to turn that way. So, like we said, I've had my go. We've had it out. Come on, let's crack on.
Yeah, exactly. Because I reckon some people do react emotionally before your logic then kicks in. So, yeah. And then it all starts. The early morning run begins at 4 a.m. The drinking raw eggs. And then, we get the punching of the frozen meat when he goes to see Paulie. And he's like, this is why I want to introduce you to Gazzo. You know, you got a big mouth, Paulie. And kids, sorry for all the accents in this, God knows. And Mickey's just awesome. Like, he's just no rubbish, straight talking. And Rocky's punching the frozen meat. And apparently Stallone flattened his knuckles. It's like, Jesus, man. And again, it's like, there's a lot of like symbolism in this film, and I'm not trying to be a hoity-toity or like your English literature teacher, but you know, why did they say this in that scene? It's very much not like that, but there's just so much. I was very, very surprised because I started watching it in like half an hour and I'm thinking, oh, this is not slow because it's not, well, yeah, but not slow in a way where you're getting bored. Like, it's like, oh God, it's been half an hour and I've like, or like after like 15 minutes, I thought, God, I know so much about these characters already. And it's been 15 minutes. And then you're getting into it and you think, oh, this is pretty interesting. Like, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. If you're going into it, especially if you've not seen it before, like you hadn't, and you hear Rocky and you know it's a boxing film and you know it's spawned countless sequels, when you watch the first one, I don't think it's a film you're going to expect. Because it does take its time to build up, and like you said, it is about feelings and it is about relationships. But it's not in a boring way, or it's not in a cliched way. It's It's just a really, it's an honest film. And I think we've said that before, but it's just, it's got that honest feel to it.
No, it doesn't. I think this is something, oh God, I'll say it, because it, like modern films, a lot of them, I think they get too preoccupied with who's in it,
yeah,
and what they look like, rather than, it doesn't, people don't care. Most people, 99.9% of people, don't care who the person is, what they look like, where they're from. They genuinely, if you write it properly so that we care and it's engaging and you actually care about what happens to the characters, people will run with it. It's when you pick a shell of somebody and go, well yeah, you like these, you like this person, don't you? Well, no, it's rubbish. Oh, is it because it's this? But no, it's rubbish. You need to write it about people that we actually care, like we care about.
Exactly. Like,
write it properly and we'll care. And I think it's like, sounds so simplistic, but it's like, just write it properly. And, you know, you, anybody and people will then, doesn't matter who they are, what, you know, I'm not flipping Italian, I'm not American, but you can watch a film and you can take a lot from it and find it very inspiring. You don't have to see yourself in it. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes modern films make, that, oh, you need to see yourself in it. No, no, you don't. Anybody will see themselves in something if they, you know, you connect with it. It's all you need.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's all. wouldn't be a review itself episode if it didn't have a bit of a whinge. So Rocky is just at, like, he's on the television at the meatpacking plant. And I love that, like, Paulie's trying to get in the back of it. Whereas Apollo is sat in this board meeting. Like, you don't, this is nothing, you don't see Apollo train at all. He's just sat in this boardroom, like, and he's like, Apollo is sorting out flying his barber to the fight. And it's like, oh, come on, mate. Like, and Apollo's mate, who I think is his manager, actually tries to warn him. He's watching the television. He's like,
exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like, hey, boss, you want to watch this kid? Like, you need to come and have a look. And he's like, he means business. Like, I mean business too. Surely, have we got any more coffee out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll bring it in for you. And it's like, oh, you really aren't taking this seriously. You really think this is just going to be a walk in the park.
And that's a brilliant thing when, yeah, it's Duke, isn't it? He's looking at this guy punching frozen meat in a freezer. And I think that's when he realises that, this guy's got something. Yeah, he's got that desire, hasn't he? Which is probably something that the champ, and that maybe is a bit of a cliche, but yeah, something that the champ's probably forgotten is that initial desire, that raw desire to kind of win.
Well, yeah, because to put yourself through something like that, I mean, and it's that, like, self-belief that I know I am going to win this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the night before the fight, Rocky has what I would describe as a proper wobble. Like, he's like, I don't think I can do this. Like, you know, and again, very understated. Adrian's there sleeping in a separate bed. He's on the sofa because he said, you know, no hanky-panky when you're training. he's gone the old Fabio, what's his name? Fabio, the England manager, the previous England manager. Fabio Capello route.
Capello, yeah.
Capello, yeah. and yeah, I'd like that scene again. And he says to Adrian, you know, no one's ever gone the distance with Creed. He's like, if I can hear the bell rings and I'm still standing, the bell ring and I'm still standing, you know, I'll see for the first time in my life, you know, if I'm just another bump from the neighbourhood.
Yeah,
that's all I need to say. And it's great. Again, like, then it comes to the fight, and in a 1 hour and 59 minute film, we get to the fight, and it's 1 hour and 39 minutes in. That is 20 exactly. minutes left till the credits, and it's like, well, that's including the credits actually. And you're thinking, okay, well, like, we've barely seen, there's a tiny bit of boxing at the beginning, a tiny bit. That's it. The rest of it's training and running. I mean, we get the awesome, one of the best, like, montage training things you've ever seen
come
in your
on.
Life. There's a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's iconic.
Yeah, come on. If that doesn't move you, if that hasn't got you wanting to run up a flight of stairs as well, on the scene will.
Exactly. Apollo, of course, looks the part and is very pristine. You know, Rocky comes in, and again, this was because they just couldn't get into the costume in time. The robe's too big for him, and they just threw that in. And again, I think that helps with the realism that they use a lot of just things that happen to be like, right, well, we'll just write it that way then. And you just change it a bit. That makes it more realistic because life is kind of chaotic like that. I love all those little bits. He comes dressed in his George Washington. Then he becomes Uncle Sam. I say, all right, we get it, Dippy. We know you're American.
Yeah.
Dippy's short for dipstick, by the way. We know you're American. Like, we get it. And he's like there throwing out dollars, and they're all like, oh, my God. A dollar used to go further back then, eh? And you're like, oh, God. I was just like, you're here for a fight?
Yeah.
You're here for a fight? Like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't like a presidential campaign trail. I get.
Well, have you seen the start of Rocky IV? Or where he fights Drago?
Doesn't Drago come in dressed ridiculous? I can't really remember.
I won't say this, but yeah, Apollo Creed is even more Apollo Creed in that fight. Now, that was an exhibition, but all I'll say is when you get to it, yeah, Apollo Creed is even more Apollo Creed in his entrance to that fight.
Well, why not? There's nothing wrong with, you know, being proud of being American. There really isn't, like, absolutely go for it. Like, you know, just watch the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony. Like, there's nothing wrong with leaning into it, you know, leaning into the stereotype. Yeah. Because it starts somewhere, you know. Just again, I love the whole. Rocky seems to have some kind of sticker on the back of his robe. It's for a meatpacking company, Shamrock Meats Incorporated. And I'm like, and I love the fact that he's like, what's with the, like, Mickey says to him, what's with the sticker? And he's like, oh, Polly gets $3,000, I get the robe. And he's like, shrewd, or whatever he's in.
It's just really little whispering to each other, isn't it? Little asides while this show's going on, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, how much do you got head cost? And I love that. Because that's clearly what this board meeting all the way through the film has been about. That's all of it sorting out. Right, so we need never come from stage left. I need the glitter, I need the hat. How are we changing me to George Washington? Right, have we got the dollar bills? Are we using real ones? Right, no wonder that.
He's definitely the champion of the world in terms of those entrances, right? You know, he had that down, yeah.
Yeah, I just love, like, it was great. Joe Frazier turns up, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, Philadelphia. Yeah. And again, they only get him because they asked loads, and apparently he's the only one who turned up.
The only one, yeah.
But then they said it was perfect because he's from Philadelphia, so it, like, really, like, made sense with the rest of the film.
Yeah.
And the first round, like, where it looks like Rocky's just getting pummeled. And I've seen that boxers do that before, in that Rocky's just trying to get the measure of him. Like, I don't know if you watch a lot of boxing, or it doesn't really matter either way, but you can see Rocky's just trying to get the measure of him. Mm. And then he gets the measure of him, puts him on the ring.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's never been put down before. But again, you know, and I hate to be all secondary school about it, but, you know, prepare to fail. You know, all
exactly,
that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah.
All like, and that, that's all, he hasn't prepared for it. He thinks it's a joke. He thinks he's just going to turn up. And he's still very, very good. Like, this, you know, this isn't like he's really rusty. But they call it out. The commentators are like, they say, oh, he's not looking as quick as he usually does. He's not. And you think, yeah, he's out of shape. That's why. He doesn't look out of shape. But he clearly hasn't been, you know.
Probably also thinks Rocky's. He probably also thinks Rocky's going to be overwhelmed as well when he's there for the paycheck, right? He's probably thinking you know, they're not going to try or not be that good. They've just pulled someone off the street, right?
Yeah. Literally. The second round, Rocky takes a beating, and then Rocky just pummels him towards the end, and they have to be broken apart because he has him on the he has Apollo Creed in the ropes. And then Rocky, after that, because they go from, like, second round to, like, 13, 14. It's all a bit odd.
Yeah, it's quick, isn't it?
It's quick. I don't mind. It's not a criticism. Rocky gets
done very well.
Like,
it's done very well.
Can't even keep his hands up. Mickey says, like, stay down. And he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Adrian finally comes because she's, like, waiting in the dressing room. Not the dressing room, like, the changing room. He's like, oh, and she starts watching. Rocky then breaks a couple of Apollo's ribs. And you could see Apollo's just knacked after that. And then here's the thing which just confirms it's not about the film. It's not about boxing. You don't even hear the decision. I mean, you hear a split decision, but after that, you don't hear it. You don't even hear it. Like, no one's. Rocky's not bothered. He's proven what he needs to prove.
It's not the focus
himself.
Of the ending. It's not, you know. But the best bit is I love when they're hugging and Apollo says there isn't going to be a rematch. There ain't going to be no rematch. And Rocky's like, I don't want one. You know. Yeah. And for me, I love that bit.
Yeah, because it's brutal because he gets his eye cut open, which obviously he was going to scar him. And Apollo Creed's like broken his ribs because his manager tries to stop him. He's like, you're bleeding inside. Like, we can't, like, you can't.
Yeah.
We can't ever continue. And he's like, no, I'm not stopping.
Just on the fight, just towards the end. One of my favourite bits of the film, and it's literally just a few seconds, is in one of the rounds where he puts Rocky down, and it might be the one where they're telling him to stay down, and he gets up and he's like beckoning Apollo to come on, and like Apollo just looks down and just shakes his head, almost like I can't believe he's coming for more. Do you know the bit I mean?
Yeah, because at that point I think he's worried that he's going to kill him. He's like, exactly. At that point, that's the part where. Rocky doesn't even have the strength to get his hands up.
Yeah.
And when
a
boxer goes like that, it's not because you did the head's just right for it.
Yeah. And for me, that's one of my favourite bits because it's just that shake of the head from Carl Weathers from Apollo. And it's that sums it up for me. And it's like, I love that bit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it is a brutal fight. I mean, it goes for the full 15 rounds.
Yeah.
Rocky ends up with, his head gets pummeled. His right eye needs to be cut open. Apollo gets internal bleeding and a broken rib and struggles to breathe. And you do see Creed probably is the better boxer. But Rocky wears him down because he just absorbs the punches. And he just won't go down. And again, as you said, when the final bell rings, it's very much like, there's not going to be a rematch. We've had our, beaten 10 bells out of each other. Rocky screams for Adrian, even though he's got like 3 microphones under his chin. We probably can't see them because his face is in bits. Adrian! and everyone's like, you can see they've massively like, enjoyed it really, and like the match. I think they do. Okay, Creed is the winner by split decision, but
split decision.
But Rocky's not listening, and then in a weird way, we're not listening because it becomes all about, I love, Adrian comes up to the ring, loses a hat, but she doesn't care.
Because they're trying to interview him, aren't they? And he's like, push back. All he cares about that moment in time, he just wants to celebrate with Adrian, isn't he? He just wants to see Adrian. That's all he cares about.
Yeah. And it's like, I love you. And then,
and
it's why even the match, the decision doesn't matter. And it ends with, the freeze frame of them kind of, them hugging. And my verdict on it, was that it's, and this is what I wrote down, was that it's a very quiet, thoughtful, character-driven film. The boxing part's almost irrelevant. It's really only the last 20 minutes, but damn, it's brutal and exciting when it does happen. And again, it's a beautiful-looking film with some of the most, famous montage scenes in history, probably the most famous. The music's great.
Isn't it?
The script's brilliant. The actors are marvellous. Actresses again are marvellous. It's there's no fat on this film whatsoever. It's ripped like a boxer. There's no bits where you can go, and for a 2-hour film, an hour and 15, that is tough to find a film where you go, they could have cut that out if at a stretch, if I'm being pernicky. But with this, there's no flabbiness to this film whatsoever. I mean, perfect, strong word, but I genuinely couldn't think of any other word there. And it's so nice to watch a film where you've heard so much about it and it's so iconic. And you watch it and you go, I get it. I get it. It just shows you that it doesn't matter how old the film is. Like, if it's good, it stands up.
Yeah. I actually think that's quite an... That is the best thing I think you could say about a film because I would be worried about coming to a film 50 years later. And like I said earlier, especially with Rocky Stallone, obviously a big star in all the films he's done, and Rocky, how many times been parodied? I mean, here we've got, is it a bet power or we've got a betting advert that's taking the running through the city scene, isn't it? And he's parodying that. So it's had so many jokes and parodies made about it that you can probably come to it with a preconception. But
one of mine was that there was going to be loads of because in the later films, I know this, there's a lot of freeze frames and slow-mo. That's not here. That's not in this at all. And I was very impressed by it. And I think like for me, like it's strange because in a way that I kind of was brought up with Star Trek, the good Star Trek, the old stuff. I'm on one again. No, rather than Star Wars, because my dad never watched it, so we never had it on. And and if you don't get to that stuff young, watching Star Wars when you're old, it's not the same. It really isn't. You can watch it and appreciate it, but it's not the same. I think I'm very much the same with, like, I watched army films watching growing up, never watched Stallone. Really. Like, he was always in the Rockies. I saw Rambo First Blood when I was maybe 15, but that's pretty late. But for me, it was always the Arnie films. It was like Collateral Damage, The Sick Day, which I've just reviewed. I love that film. Terminator, True Lies, all those. That was what kind of what I watched. So it was always kind of Arnie that I watched. And I'm not saying you watch one or the other, but I think you tend to kind of, I tell a lie. Cliffhanger I've seen, and damn, that's a good film.
Okay, that's a hell of a film. Different for him. I mean, I grew up in a house that, we kind of watched all of them, like, Arnie, Stallone, Steven Seagal at the time as well, Jean-Claude Van Damme. And the reason for Stallone was, I remember, kind of like, sort of, one being, so my family's Italian, so sort of Stallone being Stallone and Rocky being the Italian Stallion, it's almost like we had to watch it. But those early films, those Rockies, that like that first Rambo as well. I don't know if you've seen Rambo First Blood, but
that's the only one I've seen.
I'll tell a lie.
I've seen that one and then the 2008 Rambo, I think. 2008.
Okay. Yeah. But
I know.
But yeah, those.
Demolition Man. I saw a couple of years ago. Really enjoyed that.
Okay, I haven't seen that. Yeah, I haven't seen that probably since. Well, no, I've seen it, since it released. I probably saw it when it came out on VHS back in the day, and I don't think I've ever rewatched it.
And then obviously The Expendables came out, and I was so disappointed in that. But anyway, go on, sorry.
I like it, though. I like it, because it is trying to, it is harking back a little bit to those films. Yeah. But that's the thing, and I think with Rocky, I think it's not a film that's trying to do anything other than, like we've said throughout this, convey the emotions and the character of someone who's down on his luck, has been dealt a hard, sort of a bad set of cards in life, but there's that good in him, and that's all it's trying to be. It's not trying to be this mega flash epic or this sports biopic. It's just about a man and the relationship with the people around him. And he's got it. Because he's written it, I think because it's his film, that heart shows, really does show through it.
Yeah. Oh, Escape to Victory as well. I saw him in that as a kid. I know. Yeah, you forget these things, don't you? It's crazy.
Escape to Victory. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I think Cliffhanger was the thing I'd remember. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? But yeah, I think it's. I'll tell you what, I did see him in. It was the film he did with Schwarzenegger called The Escape Plan. Have you seen that yet?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot better than it. A lot better than you'd expect it to be.
There's a film. Oh God, I can't remember the name of it. Was it The Lords of Flatbush? Was he in that?
Oh, never heard of that.
That's a very much kind of like a low budget indie film.
Yeah, 1974, yeah. The Lords of Flatbush.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
Yeah, maybe check that out. But yeah, nice. So, for me, love this film. And you mentioned it briefly at the end. I know we haven't said it, but the music throughout this, and bear in mind, I think the first couple don't have Eye of the Tiger, which everybody will probably is aware of.
I was wondering where it was, yeah.
Yeah. The music in this is just brilliant. It is really top notch.
Yeah, it's a brilliant film. And if, like me, you haven't seen it, now is the time to check it out. It really is. Because it is. Well, you watch it and you go, yeah, I get it now. It really, it takes a lot for me to be this impressed by a film. It's you can see why it's like, that standout piece of work, and it's like this and I'd say this and Rambo, but I probably argue Rocky's more influential than Rambo. And I think this is, there's no wonder that it's what Stallone's remembered for, or like in the main, like it's not a surprise.
Yeah. And for me, I think people will argue about the sequels. I've had my views on the sequels over the years, but I generally think as a franchise, it retains its strength for pretty much the majority of them. But there are strong views on some of the sequels, let's say that.
Give me time. We're only 2 and a bit years in. Give me time, I'm sure. Yeah. We'll get around to the others eventually. Yeah. We will. But oh, it's been a blast, Dan. Would you like to tell everybody where they can find your podcast and, yeah, anything you've got upcoming?
Oh, thank you. No, thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed this, and what a film to pick as well. You can find me anywhere. I'll keep it simple. Just look for Casting Views across social media and the podcast platforms. At the moment, so I've had, well, so when we're recording this, I've had a bit of a break, but we were talking before we pressed record. All that meant was I put a few guest spots. I've been out elsewhere, but I've actually been busier behind the scenes than I have sort of in the preceding months. But I've got, yeah.
How dare he have a life? How dare he?
See, if you've listened to me, I generally take a random topic each week, and some of the, you know, either ones I like to have a bit of fun in or something I've got a bit of interest in. But I've also now sort of hit upon a sub-series that people seem to enjoy and I like doing as well, where, like, you'd come on and you'd give me 3 courses that, you know, your ideal meal and 3 people, but then I kind of try to relate it to your podcast and I'll throw a few random questions in. And it's just been good fun. I mean, one is I think I'm secretly going to put a cookbook together for the end of the year. And that's how I'm going to make my money. But two, it's just a way of speaking to other pods. But yeah, so, you know, long story short, check out Casting Views on podcast platforms and social media.
Spot on. Yeah. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you for guesting, Dan. And thank you for listening. Wherever you may be. I tend to listen when I'm in the car. I like, because over here we're not allowed to use our phones when we're driving. I know Americans, biggest audience share, you're allowed to. Yeah, you can't do that here. So yeah. If you are going to pick a podcast to listen to on a drive and you live over here, you've really got to pick carefully. So if you have picked me, thank you very much. You're listening to Review It Yourself, the podcast with the sigh. No politics, no pandering, absolutely no point. Also, we're now on YouTube, so I say we, it's me. But go and give us a look over there. Yeah, go over and check that out. And if you are listening on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, all that business. But no, thank you very much for listening or watching.